Father, once again, it is such a joy to just to be overwhelmed by your incredible heart, by who you are, and how we can partake, how we can be so one with you and face to face and enjoy the reality of you being God. And what a place of rest, what a place of incredible encouragement and security and hope and life and abundance. So we want to thank you as your children this morning, just to be, to hear what you have to share. And particularly this morning, as you begin to impart once again something that is so profound that we all know, but you're going to awaken that up within us so that we have a deep understanding of what's taking place, not only in our lives, but all around us, and also to be able to reach out to so many people now that you're busy working and preparing their hearts to hear your gospel and not the gospel of man. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your incredible witness. You were the one there at the resurrection of Jesus. You were the one there, Holy Spirit, witnessing and being involved with all of that. You were there. And so now, as you inspired the writers, you were there inspiring the writers, we just now rely on you to continue to testify and to be the witness of the incredible life of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection. And so we thank you as you impart into us, as you teach us how to walk in the fullness of the law of yours that brings life and releases life and keeps us in the reality of life. So we bless you for this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Great. Okay. Last Sunday, a few Sundays now, we've been looking at Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to just again read the first four verses. Because the question we're asking and the work that the Holy Spirit within us is that he's helping us to learn how to walk in the fullness of this law of the Spirit that gives life. What does it mean? What is the fullness of that? And so you and I are learning now, and so as we are learning, many things are happening within us. And I want to share some of the reality of what's actually happening so that you've got an understanding and able to just to not think you're going crazy. Okay. But to understand God up to something far more than what we even imagined. And so we're going to spend time, and this might take a few Sundays. I'm not sure yet. There's just so much that he's imparting and wants to release to us. So in Romans chapter 8, here in verse 1, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's going to be a big part as we go on and understand that truth. Because this is the reason. Through Christ Jesus, remember, everything that God does is through his son Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father and I'm going to ask him for the Holy Spirit. And we see there in Acts where the Father gave Jesus the Holy Spirit and Jesus baptized us. He poured out his Spirit. Okay? Everything is through Jesus. Everything is through Jesus. In the past, he spoke through the prophets in various ways, but in his last days, he has spoken through his son, Jesus. Very, very important to understand, because of so many so-called movements that bypass the centrality of Jesus Christ, who he is, what he has done. And so we've got to just again understand what God is busy helping us to be established in. And then he carries on and he says over there, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free. Very important words here. As we go on, they will start to get deeper understanding there. Free from the law of sin and death. Very important to understand this. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh. Remember, we're looking at at that time, there's the power of sin operating in humanity, and there's also the body of sin that yields to the power of sin. Okay? And remember, we looked at this in Romans chapter 6 and Romans 7 is all part of it. And more we'll explain this as we look at what we're sharing over the next, maybe next few Sundays. Now, we carry on. So he condemned sin. Very important words that. So he condemned sin in the flesh. There was this court case that took place. Okay, he condemned sin in the flesh in order, the purpose again. Why did God condemn sin in the flesh? Why did he condemn sin that was operating in the body of, in the flesh realm? Why did he do that? In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is so deep, and there's just so much that God wants to open up in these scriptures over here. But we need to go back a little bit to start to take a journey from the beginning so that this begins to make, we get more understanding and we get established in this, because this is important. There is a tremendous conscious decision that you and I make as children of God. It's simply this. We do not live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit. That needs to be the foundation of our lives. It needs to be in us. It needs to be the way we think, the way we understand everything. I don't live according to the flesh. I've been born again by the Spirit of God. I'm in a union with God, and I live by the Spirit of God. This law of the Spirit is operating within me, and that's how I live my life. Okay. That agreement is vital for you and I to be able to go and to live in the fullness of the law of the Spirit of life. Okay. So this is just some of the things that we need to look at. Now, to go back, I want us to go to Romans chapter 1. Well, now let's go to Romans chapter 6, because what is this life that the Spirit imparts into us? What is this law of the Holy Spirit, this life law? What is this life? And this is what we're going to grow into now. This is what we need to understand. And so we see here in Romans chapter 6, and again, I'm just going to read from verse 1 onwards there to verse 4 again. We've dealt with this, but you will start to see the importance of understanding all that God has been speaking to us over the years. What shall we say then? Okay. Remember, we do not live according to the flesh, but we live according to the Spirit of life. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. Why? Because we are those. See, this is why we've got to let this truth be our reality. We've got to renew our mind and reckon this and know this is who we are as a child of God. This is the fact. This is the truth operating within us. This is the place where we live. This is our position. And it's very, very important to renew the mind. Remember, I shared the other day, the mind is the gateway for inner transformation to take place. Be transformed by the renewal of the mind. Okay? And so that is why it is so important to meditate, so important to begin to receive and take hold of these truths. Otherwise, it's like the wise and the foolish builder. the moment the storms come, we fall apart because we haven't been established. We haven't actually accepted this truth by faith and realized, but this is who I am as a child of God. This is my reality. This is my truth. And live and renew our minds to this. Then comes the inner transformation. Then comes the life, the law of the Spirit of life. You start to experience the operation of the life of the Holy Spirit in all of this and becomes real. That is why it takes it from a fridge magnet verse on your fridge or on the wall, and now it starts to become a reality within. It's alive, it's living, it's active. Okay, and we live in that reality. And so Paul writes over there, well, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. What is this life? See, what is this life that we have, that we have entered, that we are, that we're experiencing within us? That we too may live a new life. So our union in Christ, through Christ Jesus, something took place that enables us now to live a new life, not just for the future, but also a now reality, that we may now live a new life. Okay? We carry on in John chapter 17. Remember what I've shared? The apostles are writing what Jesus taught. They're explaining, they're opening up the revelation that about Jesus and all that he had taught and who he is. Okay. Now in John chapter 17, Jesus is praying to the Father, and he says to them, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. What is this life? What is this life that you and I have? What is this life of the Spirit, this law of the Spirit of life? What is this? Now this is eternal life. That you know that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So this life, remember, when we looked at the faith, you've got a God faith, you've got a religious faith, you've got a human faith, you've got a demonic faith. What separates God's faith from everything else is this: God is life. So when you and I receive faith, it is life that enables God to become real to you and I. The God faith enables you and I to be able to know him, but not only to know God, but to know him as the only true God. Very, very important to know the true God. See, I'm sharing all of this because you and I have been given the message of reconciliation. You and I have been called to go and be witnesses, to go and teach, to go and share the gospel. And we're not going to be sharing the gospel of man. We're sharing the gospel of God. And that is why all of this, to understand what life is all about, is crucial to understand, because many, many believers get born again and they don't realize that they no longer live according to the flesh. They live according to the Spirit. See, they've got to be established in that from the very beginning. And you will understand why South Africa is why South Africa is where it is right now. You'll understand why the world is in such a condition as we see it today. And you'll begin to understand is because we do not understand the gospel of God. We haven't preached the gospel of God. And God is shifting and he's bringing us back into the incredible reality of what is the gospel of God. God's gospel. Okay. And that's where we're heading towards now. And so, yeah, we see there that Jesus is praying, this is life. So the Holy Spirit that comes into us, that comes and dwells in us, it's He that enables us to have access, to have face to face, to be able to really experience how God is so real. So again, from God being a distance, now God is real. Now we know Him. You see, this is the life that you and I are speaking about. This is what the Holy Spirit works within us. This is the reality of being a child of God. God is very, very real. Very, very real. And we walk in the reality of truth. Truth is very real. The Word of God is very real to you and I. Okay. And so this is the life. This is the Holy Spirit taking us and teaching us how to walk in the fullness of the real, true God, knowing Him, experiencing Him in that. Now we carry on. And we see in, when John writes his epistle in 1 John chapter 5, and I'm going to just read here in verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. Why? Because we have received the Holy Spirit. We were persuaded by God. His faith that He gives to us is full of life. God became real. We responded to that. Now we have received the Holy Spirit, so we have been given eternal life. The Holy Spirit is eternal. The Holy Spirit is the first fruit guaranteeing of our full inheritance. So the Holy Spirit that we have been given, He is life. We have life, but it carries on. And this life is in His Son. This life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Very, very important. Many people have responded to an altar call, but they have not received the life of Christ Jesus. We do no longer live by the flesh. We live by the Spirit. We get born again by the Spirit of God. Okay? We're starting to understand the gospel of God, the good news of God to mankind. Okay? The good news is in His Son Jesus. Life is in His Son Jesus. As you and I receive the faith that God gives us, we hear the gospel of God. What happens? We receive His Son. We receive the Holy Spirit. And so we receive life. We have life. The law of the Spirit. That is why we've got to renew our mind. This has got to become our reality. This is who we are as a child of God. God's Spirit of life is in me. It works in me. I have abundant life. I have eternal life. Okay. Very, very important. Very, very important as you share with the body of Christ. For body of Christ that's worldly, it's very, very important to communicate the gospel of God, not the gospel of man. Okay, very, very important to understand the gospel of God over here. Then he carries on in verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you know you've got eternal life? Well, if you have received the Holy Spirit, if you receive Jesus and the Spirit of life is operating you, the Spirit of life brings about the reality of knowing the true God. God, the true God is your reality. You know Him. There's a relationship that's extremely real, tangible. Okay? Now we carry on. And we see over here, this is the confidence. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And down here in verse 20, we know that we are children of God and the whole world is under the control of the evil one. Very important. We know also that the Son of God has come and given us understanding, so that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. What did Jesus pray in John 17? Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and his son Jesus Christ. Anything else that's been added to this, may God expose it and may he release it from us. That is why I'm sharing this, because when you and I are consciously aware of the Holy Spirit and we've renewed our mind and we've accepted the fact that the Spirit of God is within us, we've offered our bodies as a living sacrifice and the Holy Spirit has full reign in our lives, you will find so many things starting to take place because he's exposing stuff that is not the gospel of God. And he's going to release us, he's going to expose us, and we get to the place of decision making, whether we're going to hold on to that or not hold on to that. Okay? And so that is what we will find. And through this, there's going to be many things that you will find happening in your life, and it's because the law of the Spirit of life is at work. Because the Holy Spirit has one goal, and that is for you and I to know the true God and not any other God, to experience the true God, to be in relationship with the only true God, not the man-made God, not the religious God, not the demonic God, not all the other gods that all around the world, but to know the real true God. Okay. That is why you find, for instance, when Satanists or Muslims speaking and Hindus and people all over there that have been worshipping other gods, when they get born again, they now realize how they've been deceived, because now they have eternal life. And eternal life is that they may know the only true God. That is why they've got the tremendous, powerful testimony, because they know how real God is. All of us that have been set free from religion, coming out of religion, we know the reality of what is a counterfeit God and who is the real true God, because we're experiencing the life of God, the power of God. Religion is a form of godliness that denies the life, that denies the law of the Spirit. The law of the Spirit that gives life is not in the religious system. Okay, that's the law of man's opinion, the law of man's works, the law of man's own way of nation, own way of sanctification, own way of whatever they want to do. Okay. And so we understand what the reality is of who is the really true God, that we may know that we have eternal life. Now we come to Romans chapter 1. And this is where we're going to stay for a while this morning and probably the next few Sundays as our base foundation. I was praying during the week, and I was so conscious of the power of evil, of wickedness. If you look at the world and all that's taking place, it seems like evil is winning. It looks like, Satan is really winning. And we know that, as we saw in John chapter 5, that the whole world is under the control of Satan. But we also see there in the beginning of 1 John chapter 5, who has overcome this world? We who have faith in Christ Jesus, we have overcome this world. And so there's like this in me, I'm so conscious of this incredible sort of power of darkness. And the Holy Spirit started to speak to me of the reason for why this is actually taking place right now. And he took me to this portion in Romans chapter 1. And so I wanted to start here. There's a few things that I wanted to share for today only. Paul is writing, but I want us to start over here. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. And I immediately began to realize, but here is the fundamental difference here. Paul, you and I, as believers, we have been commissioned to preach the gospel of God. In other words, God's good news to mankind. Remember in Galatians chapter 1, when Paul is writing to the church and he says there in verse 6, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, that's the law of the Spirit of life, and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Because people are trying to get them out of the law of the Spirit of life back into the law of sin, okay, with their keeping the rituals of the law in that particular context. So here we realize, and this is where you start, you'll start to experience as you are yielded to the Holy Spirit and you recognize that you don't live by the flesh, the body of sin, the power of sin is broken. We don't live, we're not yielding to the body of flesh, but now we are yielded to the Holy Spirit. This is one of the first things that start to take place. As I shared earlier on, anything that is not God's gospel, God's good news, the Holy Spirit will start to expose that to you and I. And sometimes it could be difficult to let go because particularly that's why I shared last time, all the truths that were released from the Reformation, you know, up until today, there's truth, but most of it was connected with human understanding, human interpretation, through culture, through all kinds of things. God is busy doing something so that the purity, so that God's gospel, the good news of God, is now coming forth. And you and I are the people that God is putting this into us, giving this understanding so that we can release and share and speak the gospel of God. So we've got to be careful because everything, today we've got even about the kingdom of God. There's another movement now that is the Christian mystics and all that over there. And very, very often the very truth, the purity of the truth can be diluted and it becomes a gospel of experience or the gospel of politics or something like that. Very, very easy. God is shaking all of that. So sometimes it's very hard to let go, but there's a grace, there's a law of the Spirit of life operating in us, enabling us to let go of stuff that, well, God, thank you. That's not the gospel. I don't see Christ in it. I don't see the reality of the life that is in your son in all of this. It's nice, et cetera, and all these other things, but we've got to get back to this. And I'll tell you why just now. And then they carry on and Paul writes over there, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scripture regarding his son. Again, it's all about our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we carry on and we see there in verse 16, well, let's go to verse 14, Romans 1:14. I am obligated both to Greek and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel. Why was Paul so eager to preach the gospel? What did he know? What did he understand about the gospel of God that he was so eager to proclaim? What was in this gospel that Paul understood and knew? And he couldn't wait to share this gospel of God. Okay? He begins to unlock it here in verse 16. And he says there, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. This is the gospel of God. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. First for the Jews, then to the Gentiles. So we see here in this gospel, the gospel of God, there is a power, God's power, that brings salvation. There is also, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And the Holy Spirit started to share that in South Africa particularly, I know in my own ministry, everything, that because we do not understand the gospel of God, the preaching, the teaching, the evangelism that takes place denies the power of God. This is God's ability. So we see there in verse 18, notice verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed. Is this not a future? From heaven against all godliness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. So here we have in verse 17, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. So in the good news of God, a righteousness of God is revealed. But also in verse 18, the wrath of God is being revealed because people have suppressed the truth. What's eternal life? That they may know the only true God. Yeah, this is so deep, and I think the Holy Spirit will take us into that, but we first need some more foundation before we get that over there. Okay, let's carry on. So now we come to this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is a power of God. See, remember when we looked at 1 Corinthians some time back in verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. This is the gospel of God. Not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, notice that being saved, important, is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. So once again, we need to begin to look at this. This good news of God, in this good news of God is God's divine power. That's why to be born again, it's a miracle. It's the operation of God's divine power. It is God's power at work. If we are ashamed of the gospel, we will preach another gospel that denies the power of God. If we fear man and we want to preach to please man, we will preach the gospel of man, not the gospel of God. And so it will deny the power of God. And this power of God has a purpose, and that is salvation. Okay. And so we start to look at, okay, let's look at our country. Let's look at our communities. And we start to realize that evil really seems to be very powerful is because the gospel of God is not being preached. And the Holy Spirit is bringing us back to that incredible truth. It's not the gospel of my opinion, but it's the gospel of God. And this walking in the fullness, learning how to walk in the fullness of the law of the Spirit that gives life, that set us free from the law of sin and death through Christ Jesus. Now we're beginning to understand because we know the true God. As we know the true God, we begin to know the true message from God. We begin to know the good news of God, the true good news of God for mankind. And you and I are able to live in the true good news, in the true gospel. And also now we're able to minister and proclaim the true gospel of God. Okay. And that's why you will find there are folk that are persecuted for the incredible gospel of God, because they understand something about the true gospel, and the forces of darkness do not like it. So they have tremendous persecution against their ministries for this very reason. Okay. And so here we see, what then is salvation? Because if we don't understand what salvation is, we don't really understand what the power of God is all about. What is God's power doing? It's unto salvation. Let's go back to John, after Romans. I'm not ashamed, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Remember the story of the faith? It's God's persuasion. So there are people that God is busy speaking as you and I share his gospel, his good news to mankind, revealing his incredible heart to humanity, his love for humanity, as we share his good news, what's taking place over there, the power of God is busy working. There's a grace of God busy working to enable them to believe and to know that this gospel of God, this God is real. He is the true God. They do then have that decision, whether it's to suppress the truth and remain in the reality of the wrath of God. Remember Jesus said that those who believe in me have eternal life. Those who do not believe in me already stand condemned. Okay, so they're already in this reality. And then if they believe, they experience the power of God. The law of the Spirit that gives life, it's the power of God at work within us, dealing with salvation. Now, what is salvation? I like a definition that Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones gives in the commentary in Romans. He says over there, salvation is the deliverance of man out of the consequences of the fall and of sin. Remember when in Genesis chapter 2, and we saw there in verse 7. No, it was, let me just find the verse over there. Verse 17, sorry. The Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from the tree in the garden, from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay. We know the result. They ate from the tree and death came in. Now they were conscious of the law. They were conscious of what is good and what is evil. Their consciousness now was suddenly become alive, and they knew that what they had done was sinful, was lawlessness. They knew it. Okay? So from that very moment, mankind started to operate in the reality of this incredible God-given conscience that all humanity have. And that's why we saw there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, 18, 19 onwards over there, that no man is without excuse, because God has been revealing himself to mankind plainly, very, it's amazing the word, clearly, plainly for all to see, but they're suppressed. Okay? That's the reality of the God-given conscience. So now we see over there that because they had sinned, because they had disobeyed God, death came into the reality, into the picture. Now, salvation is the deliverance of man out of the consequences of the fall and of sin. So the power of God, the law of the Spirit of life, is involved in bringing about our total deliverance from the consequences of that fall in the garden, but also the consequences of the reality of this power of sin. Okay. If we don't realize this, again, we do not understand what is taking place within us. when we realize, God, salvation is everything, you're delivering us from everything that came as a consequence of the fall, and also the consequences of sin, the reality of sin, the power of sin, the fruit of sin, all of that, you are delivering us from that. What did the angel say to Mary? You are to name him Jesus because he will save. He will save his people from their sin. The gospel of God is through his son Jesus to totally deliver us from the fall, from the consequences of that fall, from the consequences of sin. So in him, we become a new creation. Now, before we go on, and I think we'll stop over there, before we go on, remember, salvation, you've got, if we look at it in the time zone, our time zone, we have been saved in Christ. We've been raised with him. We're seated with him in the heavenly realms. We're in him. We have already been saved. But as we saw there, now I've just read over there, we are being saved. That's the operation. That's where you and I are experiencing now. We have been taken out. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness, and we are now into the kingdom of God. We have already been saved. Now we are being saved. That's in the old terminology was called sanctification. The work of God, the inner transformation, the salvation of the effects of sin, the salvation of the effects of the fall, the power of God working and delivering you and I from all of that over there. And that's why he's teaching us about the truth of having died with him and raised with him, understanding the law of the spirit and the law of sin and death. However, there's also the future reality of salvation. Remember in 1 Peter chapter 4, we see an amazing truth over there as well. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, where Peter writes over there that we've got this incredible hope within us. We've got the Spirit of God within us, and we've got this incredible truth that there's the inheritance that is kept safe for you and I on the day of salvation. It's a future reality. Okay. And you've got to understand that there's this, the past, the present, and the future context of salvation, because we're living in our time zone. Okay. But from God's perspective, it's totally different. And so we've got to realize that, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I've been redeemed from the dominion of darkness. Yes, I'm in Christ. I'm a new creation. Yet I've got to realize, but there's the power of the law of the Spirit operating within me. And there I've got to renew my mind so that that work of Christ, the total salvation, is operating in my life and bringing about the deliverance, bringing about the salvation. It's the power of God at work. That's why the believers need to understand this. Okay. And then we have this incredible future hope where you and I are looking forward to the total redemption of all, and into the new heavens and new earth, et cetera, et cetera. And so there's that incredible future aspect with the Holy Spirit within us as a guarantee of our future inheritance when the fullness of salvation comes about in your life and in my life. Okay. And so I think I'm going to stop there because I said time has gone there, but we're going to be looking at then, God willing, next Sunday, is that in the salvation, the power of God, there are basically three things that happens over there. That man is delivered from sin, and we'll break that up there. That man is completely reconciled back to God and restores the communion with God. We will look at that there. But also how this salvation, the power of God, restores the hope to glory. And we will look at that as we go on over there. And then we will begin to understand a little bit more of the law of the Spirit of life. So, guys, time is gone. Sorry. There's just so much that it's in me I must share, but I know time-wise. Let's pray before we have communion. Father, when we starting to understand your heart for mankind, and we understand that as we once again get back to your Son Jesus Christ, the centrality of his death and his resurrection, and how salvation comes through him. And we ask as your family, Father, that as we learn now what your gospel is, and as you set us free from the stuff that's contaminated your gospel, our understanding, our experiences, and all these things, we ask and we receive, Holy Spirit, you guiding us into all truth. We want to thank you as we surrender our opinions, as we surrender our experiences, as we surrender everything and we just walk with you. And as you take us into all truth, because you are the Spirit of truth, we're here to learn from you, Holy Spirit. Teach us the gospel of God so that we can share this and there's a power of God that is in operation. We want to thank you for this revival. We want to thank you for stirring up. We want to thank you for the voice of your body of Christ Jesus. We want to thank you for a voice that you are clarifying, that you are purifying, that the fire is upon the voice, cleansing, renewing, the water of the Spirit is on this voice, so that life is being released as all the junk has been burnt off. And we say, yes, Father. As Isaiah said, put that coal on our lips to cleanse our mouth. We receive your incredible coal, Holy Spirit, your fire, so that our lips can proclaim the gospel of God. And so help us in our discernment. Help us, Holy Spirit, to recognize stuff that is not the gospel of God. And so thank you as you teach us these things. We look at our country and we realize evil is very strong because the body of Christ, we haven't really preached the gospel of God that has the power of God for salvation. But the turning point is shifted. There's a shift now. And we say, yes, Lord, and wherever we go, Lord, and you're doing this worldwide. Worldwide, I know that you are busy working in the body of Christ. The shaking is taking place, but out of this comes the purity of understanding, of knowing you as the only true God and your true words, your true good news for mankind. And so we know there's going to be great persecution coming on the body of Christ. That's part of it now. But we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you help us in our weaknesses. Your law of life operates within us. And we want to thank you that you are stirring within us that we are not ashamed of the gospel, because we know something about this gospel of God, because it's God's power, God's ability. It's not words. It's not a good idea. It's not something to help man to try and prove their life. No, that's power. It's your power at work bringing about salvation, helping mankind be delivered from the consequence of the fall, from that sense of guilt, that condemnation, that hiding away from you, that death, all of that. There's so much more. But the power, your power is the only power that's able to bring about cleansing the guilty conscience. Your power is the only power that's able to bring about the reconciliation of all things. Nothing else. And you've given us the message. You've given us the voice. And so, Father, today we thank you. We say, yes, Father, we are your children. We are your body. We are your voice. We are your hands. We are your feet. Father, whatever you're wanting to do, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And we say living because the law of the spirit of life is operating not only in our spirit, but also in our soul and our bodies. Because we are not allowing the deception that sin still has power. But we have renewed our mind to the truth that that power of sin is broken. And now the law of the spirit operates in our body as well. So here's our bodies, Father. We yield to you, say yes to you. Father, as you start to show us your time, our time, we want to thank you as you deliver us, make us conscious of the bondage of our timing, how we place ourselves in a bondage with our own time, our own plans, all of this, and that you will free us so that we can walk in the freedom of your Holy Spirit. Because where you are, there's freedom from our own perception of our time, our programs, our deadlines, that we can start being led by you and moving into your dimension of your internal time zone. Because there's the life. As we learn, Holy Spirit, from you, as we learn to be able to let go of stuff in our lives that is part of the death realm, we want to thank you for your life flowing into this every area of our soul, every area of our mind, every area of our bodies, bringing about tremendous transformation, that we are being conformed into your likeness, because that's what salvation is all about. Father, as Paul prays in Ephesians 1 and verse 17 onwards, that you will give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in order for us to know this incredible inheritance that's in us, to understand the reality of salvation, to understand the reality of the law of the spirit of life, to understand eternal life, to live and to receive and to know and to say, this is my life. And to consciously now making those decisions, consciously now renewing our mind to the truth from the only true God, our Heavenly Father. Lord, you have introduced us, you have brought us into a relationship with the true God. Holy Spirit, you are the one that makes us all alive to us. We want to thank you. And that we have communion this morning with you, Father, with you, Lord Jesus, with you, Holy Spirit, together with all the heavenly hosts, together with your body of Christ on this earth in the Spirit. We come to acknowledge and to just worship you, Jesus, and to see how in you there's life, and through you this life. And we want to thank you how you have embraced us and we are in you, that we may know what this eternal life is all about. We don't want to keep it to ourselves. Now I'm asking for such a release of the Holy Spirit in the boldness, but in the boldness from the place of walking in the Spirit, in the boldness or the place of your heartbeat, your love, your nature, your character. And we thank you for this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the communion as you just have time there with our amazing God.